News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Jared Howland is with us, public affairs consultant and former senior political advisor, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have heard, and also to give us analysis on some of those that you have. Starting with the European Central Bank, after what, 20 odd years, they're redoing banknotes to include people.
Possibly they haven't made a decision, and if it's not including people like Marie Curie, the famous French scientist, or Beethoven, the great composer, it may in fact include birds, rivers, scenes from nature. That decision will be taken over the summer, and I guess we'll see the new currency next year. Interestingly, this is going to come at a time when people are using less and less cash.
Was there not an original intent that the idea in the design of the banknotes was that they would be softly, conceptually emblematic of European stuff, but not include anything tangible to offend anybody else?
Correct. And it's everything and nothing, literally. So these scenes on our euro banknotes at the moment are architectural, but they're not of anywhere in particular. They're emblematic of European architecture, European society. So now it's going to become much more tangible. It's about, by the way, also, and this is important for people who have sensory issues, that the differences between the notes will be clearer.
So that if you have sight impairment or anything else, you'll be able to feel them.
Both to the sight and to the touch.
Jared, the fuel protests have been getting an awful lot of attention. By the way, if you have a view, 53106, also if you're experiencing any of the impact of them, 53106. And one of the things that is coming up in a lot of the texts is why the law suddenly changes when it involves protests. Because if you go down to O'Connell Street this morning, there are tractors just parked in the middle of the road. Now, I would have thought of an average Tuesday, if you park your tractor in the middle of O'Connell Street, a guard will suggest you move it on. So how come the rules get suspended? Are you clear on this?
No, I'm not clear. But what I am clear about is that you need to be very cautious about clearing protests, because you could create something far worse than you were dealing with in the first instance.
Just move that microphone in front of you for a second, Jared.
The idea of baton charging down O'Connell Street will not work politically or any other way.
It's difficult to baton charge a tractor as well.
Indeed, tractors have a lot of defences. So unfortunately, we're stuck with people. But I'm absolutely fascinated about how this has happened, the modalities. So this is social media enabled and driven. So this is a modus operandi that didn't exist even a few years ago. There's one gentleman called James Gagan, not to be confused with the Fine Gael TD of the same name, and his diesel has gone up from about 86 cents a litre to 148. He's literally hopping mad. He is one of the chief organisers behind this, off the back of his TikTok, a one-man band who is now a band of hundreds.
And this is sort of the first time we've seen in this kind, because normally it is that there are organisations with broad memberships. You have the Irish Road Haulage Association, you have the Irish Farmers Association, who both organise protests and then have the capacity to negotiate through formal procedures with the government. Mm. This is the first time that we've seen it be quasi-social media grassroots, isn't it?
Yeah, so the last time I can remember something like this, and possibly the first time it really happened in scale, several years ago, if you remember the beef protests, the IFA, the main farm organisations, couldn't hold it together. You literally had WhatsApp and Instagram groups popping up all over the place. I think at one stage were there 8-9 different pop-up organisations outside different factories. There was no centre. Nobody could really negotiate them, and nobody was absolutely sure what they wanted. And you have something akin to this here. But I think in today's coverage, it's interesting to look at the detail. People who are most vociferous, including Mr. Gagan, on this issue, they're also, for example, not particularly keen on money for Ukrainians.
No, and that was we also, were speaking to somebody yesterday who raised that issue as well.
They're also, by the way, really keen on the nitrates directive. Really against Mercosur. So in my view, these are policy positions that are completely incompatible with the good of rural Ireland, with the interests of farmers and the national interest. So ascribing some sort of overall good to this, when you delve down who they are, what they want, what their range of views are, they really want a carbon-based economy while they're pumping nitrates, which is
a difficult. But again, that's a difficult thing to get to the bottom of. Again, because there isn't an overarching organisation. If it is the IFA, there is a policy platform there that you can interrogate. It is tricky when that isn't as visible. The other thing that's interesting is the amplification effect of vehicles, because if these were individuals standing on their feet, it would be the kind of protest that you see all the time outside the Dáil, nobody pays any attention to. But when you turn 30 people into 30 tractors on the M1, you back it up from the airport to Balbriggan. It's an extraordinary multiplier.
Yeah, and tiny numbers of people with large vehicles can hold the city to ransom and close it down.
As if we weren't dealing with enough these days, blood is going to fall from the sky, apparently, according to some forecasters.
Yes, I mean, this brings you back to the plagues of ancient Egypt. However, fear not. It's a phenomenon that is basically Sahara dust from the Sahara Desert will be taken up into the atmosphere, will be blown very far north, will fall down in rain this weekend, and it is called blood rain because there is iron in that dust, and when it falls, it will be blood red or orange.
Oh, well, that just puts a tin hat on the whole thing, doesn't yes. it? Lastly, before you go, a bit of good news. We were talking about this yesterday, the stranded parrot in Dublin Airport.
Who is a lady parrot? This is really important detail. So the parrot, which is an Alexandrine parakeet, right, was called Troy in the airport while he was being very well minded on a diet of bananas and apples. But when ownership was finally established, it wasn't Troy parrot at all. It was Lola parrot. And Lola's favourite snacks, in fact, is watermelon.
And Lola has been reunited with her keeper.
And it has now been agreed that her middle name will be Troy.
Jared, thank you very much. Jared Hallam, 53106, if you want to get in touch. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about...
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.